Chapter 13. Do all celebrations please God? Keep on making sure of what is acceptable to the Lord. Ephesians 5:10. Paragraph 1. Question. What do we need to do to make sure that our worship pleases Jehovah, and why? Jesus said, "True worshipers will worship the Father with spirit and truth, for indeed, the Father is looking for ones like these to worship Him." John 4:23. Each of us must keep on making sure of what is acceptable to the Lord. Ephesians 5:10. This is not always easy. Satan tries to mislead us, so that we will do things that displease Jehovah. Paragraph 2. Explain what happened near Mount Sinai. How does Satan try to mislead us? One way is by confusing us about what is right and what is wrong. Notice what happened to the nation of Israel when they were camped near Mount Sinai. Moses had gone up the mountain, and the people were waiting for him to return to the camp. Eventually, they got tired of waiting and asked Aaron to make a god for them. He made a golden idol in the shape of a calf. Then the people had a festival. They danced around the calf and bowed down to it. They believed that by bowing down to the calf, they were actually worshiping Jehovah. But the fact that the people viewed this event as a festival to Jehovah did not make it right. Jehovah viewed it as idolatry, and many of them died. Exodus 32, 1-6, 10, and 28. What is the lesson for us? Don't let yourself be fooled. Touch nothing unclean, and let Jehovah teach you what is right and what is wrong. Isaiah 52:11. Paragraphs 3 and 4. Question. Why is it good to examine the origins of many popular celebrations? When Jesus was on earth, He trained His apostles to set the example in clean worship. After His death, the apostles continued to teach Jehovah's principles to new disciples. But after the apostles died, false teachers began to bring wrong ideas and pagan customs and celebrations into the congregation. They even renamed some of those pagan celebrations to make them appear Christian. Many of these celebrations are still popular today, and they still promote false beliefs, even demonism. Around the world today, celebrations and holidays are an important part of people's lives. However, as you continue to learn how Jehovah views matters, you may see the need to adjust your thinking about certain celebrations. This may not be easy, but you can be sure that Jehovah will help you. Let's examine the origins of some popular celebrations so that we can understand how Jehovah feels about them. How did Christmas begin? Paragraph 5. Question. What evidence is there that Jesus was not born on December 25th? In many parts of the world, Christmas is celebrated on December 25th, which most people think is the date of Jesus' birth. The Bible does not tell us on what day or even in what month Jesus was born, but it does tell us something about the time of year. Luke wrote that when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, shepherds were living out of doors, caring for their flocks. Luke 2:8-11. In the month of December, Bethlehem is cold, rainy, and snowy, so shepherds would not have been staying outside with their flocks at night. What do we learn from this? Jesus was born when the weather was mild, not in December. Both the Bible and historical evidence indicate that He was born sometime during the months we now know as September and October. Paragraphs 6 and 7. Question A. How did many popular Christmas customs begin? Question B. What should be our reason for giving gifts? So how did Christmas begin? It came from pagan festivals, such as the Roman festival Saturnalia, a celebration dedicated to Saturn, the god of agriculture. The Encyclopedia Americana says, Saturnalia, a Roman feast celebrated in mid-December, provided the model for many of the merrymaking customs of Christmas. From this celebration, for example, were derived the elaborate feasting, the giving of gifts, and the burning of candles. Also, The birthday of the Persian sun god Mithra was celebrated on December 25th. However, most people who celebrate Christmas today are not thinking of its pagan origins. They simply look forward to Christmas as a time to be with family, enjoy good food, and give gifts. Of course, we love our family and friends, and Jehovah wants his servants to share with one another. As 2 Corinthians 9:7 tells us, God loves a cheerful giver. Jehovah does not want us to give to others only on special occasions. Jehovah's people enjoy giving gifts and getting together with friends and family at any time of the year, without expecting anything in return. They give because they love others. Paragraph 8. Question. Did the astrologers give gifts to Jesus when he was a newborn baby? Explain. To support the idea of giving gifts at Christmas, many people say that three wise men brought gifts to the newborn baby Jesus in the stable. It is true that a group of men did visit Jesus and bring gifts. In Bible times, it was common to bring gifts to an important person. But did you know that the Bible says these men were astrologers, people who practiced magic, and who did not worship Jehovah? Also, they did not visit Jesus when he was a newborn baby in a stable. They visited him later, when he was a young child living in a house. What does the Bible say about birthdays? Paragraph 9. Question. What birthday celebrations are mentioned in the Bible? The day that a baby is born is a happy one. But that does not mean that we should celebrate birthdays. Think about this. Only two birthday celebrations are mentioned in the Bible. One was the birthday of an Egyptian pharaoh, and the other was the birthday of King Herod Antipas. Genesis 40:20-22 reads, Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he made a feast for all his servants, and he brought out both the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his servants. And he returned the chief cupbearer to his post of cupbearer, and he continued to hand the cup to Pharaoh. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had interpreted to them. Mark 6:21-29 reads, But a convenient day arrived when Herod spread an evening meal on his birthday for his high officials and the military commanders and the most prominent men of Galilee. And the daughter of Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod and those dining with him. The king said to the girl, Ask me for whatever you want, and I will give it to you. Yes, he swore to her, Whatever you ask me for, I will give it to you, up to half my kingdom. So she went out and said to her mother, What should I ask for? She said, The head of John the Baptizer. She immediately rushed into the king and made her request, saying, I want you to give me right away on a platter the head of John the Baptist. Although this deeply grieved him, the king did not want to disregard her request because of his oaths and his guests. So the king immediately sent a bodyguard and commanded him to bring John's head. So he went off and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter. He gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Neither of these rulers was a servant of Jehovah. In fact, we never read in the Bible that a worshiper of Jehovah celebrated a birthday. Paragraph 10. Question. How did the early Christians view birthday celebrations? The World Book Encyclopedia says that the early Christians considered the celebration of anyone's birth to be a pagan custom. Such customs were based on false beliefs. For example, the ancient Greeks believed that every person was protected by a spirit that was present at his birth, and they thought that spirit was connected to a god born on the same date as the person. In addition to such pagan beliefs, birthdays are also connected with astrology and horoscopes. Paragraph 11. Question. How does Jehovah feel about our being generous? Many people feel that their birthday is a special day on which they should be shown appreciation and love. But we can show love to our family and friends throughout the year, rather than just on one specific day. Jehovah wants us to be kind and generous all the time. Acts 20:35 reads, I have shown you in all things that by working hard in this way, you must assist those who are weak and must keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus when he himself said, There is more happiness in giving than there is in receiving. We are grateful to him for the precious gift of life every day, not just on our birthday. Paragraph 12. Question. How can the day of our death be better than the day of our birth? Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, A good name is better than good oil, and the day of death is better than the day of birth. How can the day of our death be better than the day of our birth? When we are born, we have not yet done anything with our life, either good or bad. But when we use our life to serve Jehovah and do good for others, we build a good name or reputation, and Jehovah will remember us even after we have died. Jehovah's people do not celebrate their own birthday or that of Jesus. In fact, the only event Jesus commanded us to observe is the memorial of his death. The origins of Easter. Paragraphs 13 and 14. Question. What is the celebration of Easter connected to? Many people believe that they are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus when they celebrate Easter. But actually, the celebration of Easter has been linked to Eostre, the Anglo-Saxon pagan goddess of the dawn and of spring. The Dictionary of Mythology explains that she was also a fertility goddess. Some Easter customs are connected with this. For example, eggs have been prominent as symbols of new life and resurrection, says the Encyclopedia Britannica. Also, rabbits have long been used as symbols of fertility in pagan worship. It is clear that Easter is not related to the resurrection of Jesus. When Jehovah sees people mixing false religious customs with the resurrection of his son, is he pleased? Of course not. In fact, Jehovah never asked us to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. What is Halloween? Paragraph 15. Question. How did Halloween begin? Halloween, also called All Hallows' Eve, or the Eve of All Saints' Day, is connected with witches, goblins, and ghosts. This celebration is not new. On the full moon closest to November 1st, the ancient Celts of Britain and Ireland celebrated the festival of Samhain. They believed that during this festival, spirits of the dead returned to earth. People put out food and drink so that the spirits would not harm them. When children today dress in costumes and go from house to house saying trick or treat, they do not realize that they are imitating this ancient demonic custom. Weddings that please God. Paragraphs 16 and 17. Question. What should we think about when planning a wedding? A wedding is a happy occasion. Weddings are celebrated in many different ways around the world. People usually don't think about where wedding customs come from, so they may not know that some customs come from pagan religious beliefs. But a Christian couple who are planning their wedding want to make sure that it will please Jehovah. If they learn about the origins of wedding customs, they will be able to make good decisions. Some wedding customs are believed to bring good luck to the new couple. For example, in some places, people throw rice or something similar on the bride and groom. They believe that this will bring the couple children, happiness, and a long life, and that it will protect them from evil. But Christians are careful to avoid any customs that are connected to false religion. 2 Corinthians 6:14 through 18 reads, Do not become unevenly yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship do righteousness and lawlessness have? Or what sharing does light have with darkness? Further, what harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer share in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement does God's temple have with idols? For we are a temple of a living God, just as God said, I will reside among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, get out from among them, and separate yourselves, says Jehovah, and quit touching the unclean thing, and I will take you in. And I will become a father to you, and you will become sons and daughters to me, says Jehovah the Almighty. Paragraph 18. Question. What other Bible principles apply to weddings? A Christian couple want their wedding to be a joyful and dignified occasion and to be enjoyable for everyone in attendance. Guests at a Christian wedding would not make speeches that are unkind, sexually suggestive, or disrespectful to the bride and groom or others. A Christian wedding does not emphasize the showy display of one's means of life. 1 John 2:16. If you are planning a wedding, make sure that you will be able to look back on it with happy memories.
And note 28. Weddings. The Bible does not make specific rules about weddings. Local customs and legal requirements are different from place to place. The most important part of a wedding is the vow a couple make before Jehovah. Many couples choose to have their family and close friends present when they say their vows, and to have an elder give a Bible-based talk. It is up to the couple to decide what sort of reception, if any, they will have after their wedding. Whatever a couple decide about how they will arrange their wedding, they should make sure that it brings honor to Jehovah. Bible principles can help them to make good decisions. If the couple choose to serve alcohol at their reception, they should make sure that the gathering will be properly supervised. If they choose to have any music or entertainment, they should make sure that these things will bring honor to Jehovah. A Christian couple should focus on their relationship with God and with each other rather than on just the wedding day. For more suggestions, see the Watchtower of October 15, 2006, pages 18 through 31. End of endnote.
The origins of toasting. Paragraphs 19 and 20. Question. What are the origins of toasting? A common practice at weddings and other social occasions is toasting. During a toast, one person expresses good wishes while others raise their glasses. How should Christians view toasting? The International Handbook on Alcohol and Culture says that toasting probably comes from an ancient pagan custom in which a sacred liquid was offered to the gods. This was done in exchange for a wish, a prayer summarized in the words, long life or to your health. In ancient times, people used to raise their cups to ask their gods for a blessing. But that is not how Jehovah provides blessings. You who love Jehovah, hate what is bad. Paragraph 21. Question. What other kinds of celebrations should Christians avoid? When you are deciding whether or not to participate in any celebration, think about what attitude and behavior it promotes. For example, some celebrations and carnivals involve erotic dancing, uncontrolled drinking, and even immorality. Such celebrations may also promote gay and lesbian lifestyles or encourage nationalism. If we share in these kinds of celebrations, are we really hating what Jehovah hates? Paragraph 22. Question. What can help a Christian decide if he will take part in a celebration? Christians need to be very careful to avoid any celebrations that dishonor God. The Apostle Paul wrote, "Whether you are eating or drinking or doing anything else, do all things for God's glory." 1 Corinthians 10:31.
And note 29. Making wise decisions. We want to make good decisions that are based on the principles of God's Word. For example, a Christian may be invited by his or her marriage mate who is not one of Jehovah's Witnesses to have a meal with relatives during a worldly holiday. If this is your situation, what will you do? If your conscience allows you to go, you could explain to your mate that if pagan customs are part of the meal, you will not participate in them. You should also consider whether others will be stumbled if you go to the meal. Or your employer might offer you a bonus during the holiday season. Should you reject the bonus? Not necessarily. Your decision whether to accept it or not may depend to some extent on how your employer views it. Does he view the bonus as part of the celebration? Or is it simply a way to show appreciation? Reasoning on these and other factors, you would need to decide whether to accept the bonus. In another situation, someone may give you a gift during the holiday season and say, "I know that you do not celebrate the holiday, but I want you to have this. perhaps the person is just being kind. On the other hand, is there reason to think that he is trying to test your faith or involve you in celebrating the holiday? After considering this, it is up to you to decide whether or not to accept the gift. In all our decisions, we want to have a good conscience and be faithful to Jehovah. End of endnote.
Of course, not all celebrations are connected with immorality, false religion, or nationalism. If a celebration does not violate Bible principles, we need to make a personal decision about whether we will take part in it. We also want to consider how our decision will affect others. Honor Jehovah by what you say and do. Paragraphs 23 and 24. Question. How can we explain our decision about certain celebrations to non-witness family members? You have probably stopped taking part in celebrations that dishonor Jehovah. But some of your family who are not Jehovah's Witnesses might think that this means you don't like them or want to be with them anymore. They may feel that holidays are the only time that the family gets together. So what can you do? There are many ways you can reassure them that you love them and that they are important to you. You might invite them to spend time with you on other occasions. If your relatives want to know why certain holidays are no longer acceptable to you, you can look up information in our publications and on JW.org that will help you to explain your reasons to them. Don't give them the impression that you are trying to win an argument or force them to think as you do. Help your family see that you considered many factors and then made a personal decision. Stay calm and let your words always be gracious, seasoned with salt. Colossians 4:6. Paragraphs 25 and 26. Question. How can parents help their children to love Jehovah's standards? It is important that all of us clearly understand our personal reasons for not taking part in certain celebrations. Our goal is to please Jehovah. And if we are parents, we must take time to help our children to understand and love Bible principles. When Jehovah becomes real to them, they too will want to please Him. Jehovah is happy to see us doing all we can to worship Him in a clean and honest way. But many think that a person cannot really be honest in this dishonest world. Is that true? Let's discuss this in the next chapter. Bible Principles. 1. Everything we do should honor Jehovah. Whether you are eating or drinking or doing anything else, do all things for God's glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31. How can we make good decisions about celebrations? Proverbs 15:15, Ecclesiastes 3:12-13, Acts 20:35, and 2 Corinthians 9:7. Jehovah wants us to enjoy life. He wants us to be kind and generous every day, not only on special occasions. Exodus 32:1-6 and Revelation 12:9. It is not always easy to know what to do. Satan tries to trick us by confusing right and wrong. John 8:32 and Hebrews 5:14. Learn about the origins of popular celebrations to see if they please Jehovah. 2. Many popular celebrations have pagan origins. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. John 8:32. What are the origins of some celebrations? 2 Corinthians 6:14-18 and 2 John 6:7. After the apostles died, false teachers brought pagan customs and celebrations into the congregation and gave them Christian names. Many of these are still celebrated today, such as Easter and Halloween. Luke 2:8-11. In many parts of the world, Christmas is celebrated on December 25th, but that is not when Jesus was born. Genesis 40:20-22 and Mark 6:21-29. Early Christians did not celebrate birthdays. The Bible mentions birthdays only in a negative way. 3. Make wise decisions about what to celebrate. Keep on making sure of what is acceptable to the Lord. Ephesians 5:10. What kinds of celebrations should Christians avoid? When making a decision about a certain celebration, ask yourself. Isaiah 52:11, 1 Corinthians 4:6, 2 Corinthians 6:14-18, and Revelation 18:4. Did it begin as part of false worship or even demonism? Jeremiah 17, 5-7, Acts 10, 25-26, and 1 John 5:21. Does it honor a human, an organization, or a national symbol? Acts 10, 34-35, and 17:26. Does it honor one race or country over another? Psalm 97:10, 1 Corinthians 2:12, Ephesians 2:2, and 1 Peter 4:3. Does it promote the spirit of the world, perhaps by encouraging people to get drunk or be immoral? Romans 14:21. If I joined in this celebration, could it affect the conscience of others? Romans 12:1 and 2, Colossians 4:6, and 1 Peter 3:15. If I choose not to join in this celebration, how will I explain my reasons to others?